Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 105, January 2018 Smorgasbord. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the show that's all about home cooking and helping folks get in the kitchen and cook more food, have more fun, have more confidence, all that good kind of stuff. If you found me recently, welcome to the show. This is a smorgasbord episode where I kind of take some smaller topics that don't maybe warrant an entire show and just kind of talk about them ad hoc. My other shows are typically more theme-based or topic-based, and we'll have more of those coming in January. But for now, I wanted to get something out, and I wanted to do a smorgasbord. Now, actually, this episode probably could have its own topic because I'm going to be talking a lot today about some food trends from 2017 that had an impact on home cooks, and I want to also talk about some things I think are coming up for 2018 that might have impacts on home cooking, some predictions, if you will. And at the end of the show, I want you to stick around because I am going to be doing a cookbook giveaway, as I usually do on these smorgasbord episodes. So stick around for that, for the instructions on how to win yourself a copy of Gabrielle Langholz's America the Cookbook. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. If you want the show notes for this episode, you can head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/105, and you can find any of the links to things I mentioned in this show. Now, before I jump into the main meat of the show, I do want to mention that you can find me online, of course, at kitchencounterpodcast.com. But if you'd like to send me an email, I'd love to hear from you. You can hit me up at feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. I read all of my emails. I'll respond to each one of them as well. You can also find me over on Twitter at TKC Podcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/kitchencounterpodcast. All right, welcome to the January smorgasbord episode. Well, you know, before I get into my food trends portion of this for 2017 and past and 2018 coming up, I do want to mention a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to have a couple of shows coming up based upon some correspondence I've had with listeners. Some, I'm sad to say, in the way past. I'm just so tardy at getting some of these things out. But I've been promising an episode on bread, and I'm going to get to that soon, early in January, kind of a basic of bread making. And I want to thank Mayor Tumulty for giving me the idea for that. I've been corresponding with Mayor about sourdough bread. It's been a little while. But that was a fun thing to kind of look into. So we're going to be doing some bread stuff coming up. Also early on, I think in January, if not early February, I think it's a good time to talk about hot sauce. And I got an email from a new listener named Mark Suggs, and he was kind enough to share with me a recipe that he has for his homegrown peppers. It looks like a really great hot sauce recipe. So I've got some stories and some stuff to talk about hot sauce. I haven't really talked about that before, so I think that'll be a fun way to kick off the early part of the year here with warming ourselves up. Maybe it'll be a good Valentine's Day topic. Get the heat going for Valentine's Day and talk about hot sauce. And you know, a ton of other people have been sending me emails over the past months, and I wish I had the presence of mind to shout you all out on the episodes. But you know, we correspond. I don't ignore anybody. You know who you are. We've chatted. So you'll be hearing your names on some upcoming episodes. So keep your ears peeled. Also, I want to send a quick shout out and a thank you to the folks over at Apple Podcasts. Now, I know some of you are brand new listeners or recent listeners to the show, and you found me because the show was featured in the Get Inspired for Holiday Cooking section on the front page of Apple Podcasts. So that was pretty exciting. I know a lot of new folks found me because I was featured there, and that's just been a lot of fun. And I'm happy to say that since I was featured there, I think my show has been steadily creeping up in the rankings in the food category on Apple Podcasts. I think I'm a top 50 food podcast now, which is pretty awesome because a year ago, I don't think I was even cracking the top 200 on a regular basis. But now I'm generally right in the 50-ish, 40 to 50-ish ranking there. I don't get too hung up on the rankings, but it's kind of fun to see the show, you know, getting some recognition. I don't know why, because there are so many really good food and cooking focused podcasts out there. So I'm just happy to even be remotely in the company of a lot of those other great shows. So I want to talk a little bit about food trends and cooking trends, particularly that impact home cooks. There are hundreds probably now of blog posts and articles out there on the internet about food trends coming and going. And I've read a few of them, and I kind of have some thoughts on my own. And a lot of them, though, don't really have anything to do with home cooks. They're restaurant-based, or, you know, they're just not something that you or I really need to care a whole heck of a lot about. But I did come up with five, you know, from scouring through those lists and kind of thinking of what this show and what I've experienced in the past year. And I came up with five food trends of 2017 and how those might impact us in 2018. So I think I'll go through this list, and these are sort of top of mind things. I haven't really sat down and written these out really deeply, but I thought it would be fun to do. So the first one on my biggest impact, on my biggest trends that impacted home cooking 2017 list is the first one would be Amazon buys Whole Foods for $13.7 billion. Now, this kind of made my list primarily because it's a grocery store, a supermarket kind of a thing, and that does impact home cooks, obviously. Personally, it doesn't impact me too much immediately because I don't have a Whole Foods close by. The nearest Whole Foods for me is about 45 minutes away. So I don't do much shopping at Whole Foods. I probably wouldn't even if there was one nearby anyway. And I'm guessing for a lot of you folks, Whole Foods isn't a big deal when it comes to your daily life. For some of you, I'm sure it is. So this was a recent deal. This was just back in the end of August, I believe it was. So it's only been a couple of months old, a few months old for this deal where Amazon bought Whole Foods. And the immediate impact was some items being lower priced at Whole Foods. I think bananas went down in price and beef went down in price, and, you know, vegetables and things like that will probably go down in price. But you started seeing Amazon products showing up in Whole Foods. But I think a couple of things moving forward for 2018 that this could have an impact that might move the needle. Two things. So for a long time, people have been saying that online grocery shopping is going to be the next big thing. It's on the verge of going mainstream. This has been going on for a long time. Even back when, well, I can't even remember when this was, but if you recall Safeway, probably 12 or 15 years ago almost, maybe it wasn't that long, but they rolled out kind of an online shopping and delivery service that went nowhere. It just folded after maybe even a year. It wasn't that successful. But of course, online shopping was still quite in its infancy, I think, when this came out. Amazon was nowhere the company that it is today. I don't think Amazon buying Whole Foods is going to make a big difference in online grocery shopping, moving the needle, at least in 2018. I think down the road, as Amazon builds out its infrastructure and logistics and its distribution centers, it could have a bigger impact on online grocery shopping. But I don't think it's going to move the needle a whole lot in 2018. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's going to happen. What I think it might do is spur traditional grocery competitors, supermarkets, food companies, maybe to accelerate their online offerings, much in the way that Walmart and Target have been trying to maintain share. And in the case of Walmart, I think they're really doing well with their online marketplace against Amazon. I think traditional grocery and supermarket companies, it might spur them to think a little bit differently about the way they approach online. Now, the other thing that grocery stores, and especially the bigger supermarket type stores, the chains are doing, actually even larger local businesses, is they're moving more towards less of a place where you just come to buy groceries and more of an experiential system. So you might not just go to the supermarket to buy your groceries. You might go to the supermarket to buy your groceries and taste some wine or chocolates, or learn how to cook bok choy at a tabletop demo in store, or watch some cleaning product demos, those sorts of things. The supermarkets are going to be moving more towards an experiential model to combat moves, I think, into the online arena for groceries. So those are kind of some thoughts I have about the whole Amazon buying Whole Foods and grocery retail in general. The next big trend, and I should have said these are in no particular order, but the next one on my list that I think had a huge, huge impact for home cooking this year was the Instant Pot, and the Instant Pot moving from a cult favorite appliance to, I would say, this year's hottest kitchen appliance. There's tons of knockoffs of the Instant Pot on the market. And I should say the Instant Pot, while a fantastic device, it's really a multi-cooker, I guess you would say. But people, I think, are mostly using it for the pressure cooking function. So it's a pressure cooker with some added features. It's a slow cooker, a rice cooker, that sort of a thing. So it's not as though the Instant Pot is inventing any new form of cooking. It's just making it more convenient and, I think, more accessible for home cooks. People aren't as afraid to get into pressure cooking with the Instant Pot. But what happened this year in 2017, I guess last year, I should say, in 2017, is that the Instant Pot moved away from the, oh, what's that? And you hear about it from a few different people and you kind of have to do some research about it, to everybody wants one. Everybody's getting one. It's so popular online. There are hundreds of Instant Pot cookbooks out now. There are websites devoted to the Instant Pot. It's really come into its own as an appliance that's making waves in the home cooking world, unlike, you know, many appliances in recent past. I would say the most recent other appliance to do something like this might be the professional blenders in the home, the Blendtec and the Vitamixes and the smoothie craze that came out around maybe 4 or 5 years ago and has kind of died away, I would say. So the Instant Pot is huge. And actually, I've done an episode with a listener, Heidi, from episode number 90 back in June. We did a whole episode on our thoughts on the Instant Pot. So you can check that out if you want at kitchencounterpodcast.com/90. And here in our house, we've been using our Instant Pot quite a bit and having a really, really good result. So not only is it a popular and trendy appliance, I think it's an appliance that actually is living up to its hype somewhat. And a lot of people are really enjoying it. I'll be interested to see how far people will take it, because oftentimes what happens with these trends is people will invest themselves so much in it that they're afraid to let it go or not use the device. So many people are, you know, using the Instant Pot for, I think, crazy things like making cakes and, you know, just doing things with your Instant Pot then is just really a lot easier, as easy to do conventionally. Anyway, in 2018, I don't see this changing. I think the Instant Pot is going to remain crazy popular. If you haven't gotten an Instant Pot already, you're going to be thinking about it, I think, heavily in 2018. My most recent episode on the show, we talked about sous vide cooking, which is also a hot, relatively new trend gaining popularity. I don't think sous vide cooking is going to knock the Instant Pot off the throne in 2018 as far as the hottest cooking appliance or gadget, but sous vide could make a run for it. So sous vide cooking, I think, will be popular, but Instant Pot is going to be the big thing in 2018. All right, next one on my big trends for home cooks list. Meal kit delivery services hit critical mass in 2017. So when I talk about meal kit delivery services, I know you've heard of them. We're talking things like Blue Apron or HelloFresh, or I had a list in front of me. I don't know what happened to it, but there's dozens of other types of meal kit delivery services along those veins, some very niche, like vegan meal kit delivery services or, you know, vegetarian meal kit delivery services or ethnic delivery kit services. But the big ones, I think, are still Blue Apron and HelloFresh. And actually, I did talk about this as well on my Smorgasbord episode from back in April this in 2017, episode 86. And I had a short rant in there, I guess you could call it a rant, about Blue Apron and the meal kit delivery services. Spoiler alert, I'm not a huge fan of them. You can listen to that episode if you want to hear my thoughts on that. Interestingly, that short rant in that Smorgasbord episode got me a lot of feedback. People were very opinionated about the meal kit delivery services, but I think if we haven't hit peak meal kit delivery service yet, we will in 2018 for a couple of reasons. One, I think people are going to find out that the meal kit delivery services, if you're going to use them on a regular basis, they're not that inexpensive. They're not really an economical way to go. They're notoriously bad at retaining subscribers. So with a model like Blue Apron, I mean, what they really would like to do is get a subscriber, you know, you, for example, to pay for the delivery service on an ongoing basis. They don't want you just to order a box or two and be done with it, right? They want you to stick around. But for many reasons, a couple I've already stated, these services have a really difficult time keeping subscribers. That's why you hear them everywhere. If you're a podcast listener, if you listen to any other show besides mine, I bet odds are very good that you've heard a Blue Apron ad read on a podcast you listen to. That's because the churn rate for their customer subscriber base is so high. They've got to constantly go out and find them. So it's very hard for them to maintain revenue through their subscriber base. And quite frankly, there's a lot of them on the market, and there's probably more on the way. There's just too many competitors in the market. Now, the big ones like Blue Apron, HelloFresh, and some of the other ones, they'll probably weather the storm of competition, but there's going to be a lot of these meal kit service delivery kits that I think you'll see go away in 2018 and or consolidate or get bought up by more traditional businesses. So I think they're not going to disappear, and they're not going to wane in popularity, so to speak, in 2018. But I think we've reached a subtle turning point on the meal kit delivery service for 2017, and we'll see that continue in 2018. Okay, the next trend on my list, this is, I think this is more of a prediction for 2018 than it was the case in 2017, but I think we're going to see a getting back to the basics for home cooks. And a couple of things I think are going to push this. So I think the food media world in particular, blogs and online digital media they're saturating the food channel. They're saturating the food media industry, right? There's every day food blogs are launching. Every day, hundreds of recipes are being published. Most of them not that original. Most of them are just, you know, variations on dozens and dozens of other recipes that are out there. So what happens to stand out from the crowd? You have these online food presences trying to do things differently, to differentiate, to figure out new and exciting, to stay fresh and relevant, and to capture the eyes and the clicks of the online audience. And I think there might be a subtle, I won't say backlash, but maybe a retreat by home cooks to simplify in 2018. I think the emphasis will be less on Instagrammable food moments for the home cook, and more focus on creating just healthy, tasty, good meals for themselves and their family. At least I hope that's the case. I feel it myself. I'm really kind of getting away from following a lot of food blogs and things like that, which seems odd for somebody who's, I guess, I'm as guilty as anyone else in the food, digital food media world. But I've long held that the online food media world is a little overdone, I think, no pun intended. So I think we're going to be getting back to the basics for home cooks in 2018. And my last, number five on my list of food trends, this is kind of a general one. This is about the kind of what's popular food-wise, ingredient-wise, moving into 2018. A couple of things. So you know, there's such things as food and ingredient trends, right? I mean, we can all think of several from years going back. You know, pomegranate probably 3 or 4 or 5 years ago was huge, and now you hardly hear anything about pomegranate. Chipotle, that stuck around for a long time, but you know, Chipotle, as in smoked jalapeno peppers, not the E. coli-ridden fast food chain, hit its heyday probably 8 or 9 or 10 years ago, and we're still in the wake of the Chipotle fad. Smoothies, like I mentioned a few years ago, kind of hit their peak. Pulled pork sandwiches were quite popular a couple of years ago. So, you know, these food trends come and go. And in 2017, depending on what website or what your personal experience is, you're going to see a huge different list. You're going to see a huge variety of things on these lists. But the ones I think I noticed in 2017 were things like zucchini noodles, or I think people call them zoodles, you know, the spiralized zucchini that you used instead of pasta. That was really big. Other things, and some of these are for health, quote unquote, health reasons, like coconut oil was big in 2017. Fermented foods really saw a resurgence. Things like tacos and spices like turmeric were very popular in 2017. So my predictions for 2018, and this echoes a couple of websites I did see this on, and that is exploring the cuisine of Africa, in particular East Africa. And so look for the spices of Ethiopia, Somalia, Eritrea, those places becoming of interest to home cooks and sort of trendy. And I'm going to call it right now, I think shakshuka, which is a tomato sauce and egg-based dish popular in the Middle East and East Africa, is going to be hugely popular in 2018. I'm seeing it more and more, and I don't think it's a far stretch to assume we're going to be seeing those in a lot of restaurant menus, brunch menus, and for good reason. It's a delicious dish. It's really easy to make, very versatile. Also for 2018, I think we're going to see a lot more emphasis on vegan replacement foods, meat replacement, that is, or dairy replacement foods. I think the technology and the industry is getting to the point where vegans no longer have to settle for subpar replacement ingredients. And there's a lot of really interesting plant-based meat substitutes coming out and dairy substitutes. I think we're going to see a lot more of that in 2018 on into 2019. And I think it's going to allow people who may have been hesitant about becoming either vegan or vegetarian explore those options a little bit more. So that's something I think is coming in 2018. And then the other thing I would say is, if you remember here just very recently, just a few months ago, the devastating wildfires that tore through Northern California, in particular wine country, Santa Rosa, so many acres of vineyards were destroyed. Thankfully, the vast majority of the grape harvest was already complete before the wildfires hit. However, that doesn't account for what future vintages are going to look like or cost, that there could be a huge shortage of California wines moving forward, at least for the foreseeable future. So if you're a Napa wine lover, a California wine lover, you might want to buy your wine now and stock up while prices are still reasonable. So I think we'll see some interesting things in the wine industry, especially from California, moving into 2018. Okay, those were my quick five food trend review / predictions for 2017 and 2018. If you notice something that you want to talk about, food trend or predictions, what are your predictions for home cooks, foods and ingredients and things like that for 2018, love to hear it. Shoot me an email, feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com, and I will definitely bring them up on a future episode. All right, everybody, I mentioned at the beginning of this show that I am giving a cookbook away today, and Santa was good to me this year. I'm looking at my bookshelf right now. I think I got three new cookbooks for Christmas, so very exciting. One of my most anticipated ones. I'm so excited to be holding this in my hands right now. I mentioned at the top of the show it was America, the Cookbook, A Culinary Road Trip Through the 50 States by Gabrielle Langholtz. This book is awesome. If you're at all interested in American regional cuisines, this book has all of it in here. It is incredible. You can probably hear me flipping through it right now. First of all, it's a massive book. It's hardback. It's a beautiful kind of a red, white, and blue motif. But let me see here. Not counting the index, we're looking at 711 pages. Roughly of recipes, and many with multiple recipes per page. So this is an incredible book, and it's arranged by type of cuisine or type of service. So appetizers, main dishes, sides, salads, that sort of a thing. but there's a key in it that kind of talks about which state or which region of the United States that this dish originated or is most popular, talks about regional variations, and there's even essays by local food experts for each state. So it's an incredible book. It's big, it's heavy, it's comprehensive, and just a ton of fun. I've had so much fun. I haven't cooked out of it yet. I've just had a lot of fun reading through it. But I have a copy of this through Amazon giveaways that I am going to give away to one of you dear listeners. Now, here's how you enter to win the book. It's extremely easy, and the only way you're going to be able to enter to win this book is by heading over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/contest. That'll have instructions and a link to the sweepstakes on Amazon. Now, you're going to need a couple of things to do this. One, you're going to have an active US Amazon.com account. And by extension, I think you have to be a US resident. Otherwise, I don't think you could have an active US Amazon.com account. And of course, there is no purchase necessary to win. You just follow the instructions. And at the end of the sweepstakes period, Amazon will randomly draw a winner and send you the book. It's really that easy. Now, you don't have a lot of time. You've only got a week. So you've got to get your entry done before midnight on January 7th, 2018. If you go to enter anytime after that, you're not going to have a chance to even win. So it'll already be gone, shipped. And one lucky listener will have the America the Cookbook in their hot little hands. So if you want a shot at winning the book, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/contest. Pretty excited to get this into your hands. Check it out. All right, everybody. Well, that pretty much does it for another episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. I've kind of rambled on a little bit. This turned out to be a bit longer than I was expecting. But hey, it's been a little while. I haven't been super active over the holiday season, but things will change back in January. I'll be back with you a lot more often. I'll be bringing you some great interviews. And looking forward to hearing from you by sending me an email or to feedback@KitchenCounterPodcast or finding me online, any of that good type of stuff. Well, thanks again for listening to the show. And it's been an interesting 2017, to say the least. I'm so glad you were a part of it. I'm really looking forward to engaging with you all in 2018 as we get in the kitchen, have more fun, be more confident, make new dishes, make good food for our family and friends. So everybody, thank you so much. Until next time, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.